Welcome in to this week's edition of New Track Record Podcast. Caleb Hatch and Justin Kinney with you. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Caleb.
Recording tonight from what, Studio B?
Studio B. There's a Flex Seal commercial on right now that always just fascinates me because it doesn't work as well as they show, yet it still is enticing.
Remember the, Billy Mays?
Billy Mays?
Yeah, remember
Yeah,
him?
And he was like really energetic, and then you found out he was coked out.
Yeah.
And that's why he was all excited all the time?
Yes.
Yes, good old days of Billy Mays.
Well, with that intro, let's get to IndyCar. Justin, did you know that we have now been living in unprecedented times for a year now?
A year now. You know, are you kind of getting sick of the... This is where we were a year ago, and you know the stories of now with March Madness on the eve, and you know all these stories out there, like the day everything happened and all that stuff. It's just like I guess I know it's a story. I'm tired of being reminded. Let's just move ahead.
I knew a few days ahead of time that this was coming, so I guess I've kind of tuned it out because I mentally prepared myself.
Yeah,
but you know, real quick, we go back to where we were a year ago. And we recorded a podcast and we both thought, yeah, they're not going to run the race on Sunday, most likely at St. Pete, right? That's what we said.
That's what we said. And
we were right.
It was Friday. They had Indy Pro 2000? Somebody practiced.
Yes.
And then it was IndyCar up and they didn't practice, right? I mean, they were all on pit lane.
They never practiced.
Yeah.
And it went from full fans, full event to no fans holding the event to
nothing.
No event.
Yeah.
It's crazy how fast everything changed in the matter of 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Last year.
I mean, you know, the conference tournaments of basketball, just one after another shutting down, the NBA shutting down.
The Big East holding out as long as they could.
Yeah. Right. And then you're just waiting like a media timeout and they'd come back and there'd be nobody there. Like, you know, be like, oh, we canceled it at the 10 under 10 timeout.
I think that it is exactly what happened.
I think
in the Big East.
It was halftime, I think.
Yeah.
Of the game. Yeah.
So, they're like, everyone go home.
No. We've embarrassed ourselves enough. We're the only thing going on. It's just time to end it. But I am looking forward to not talking about the past year and not being reminded. I just want to look ahead.
Agreed. And, you know, looking ahead, things we have in IndyCar for this week, and I feel like we have some pretty interesting stories that came out in the last week. First off, the lead to me, Top Gun Racing. We have joked and talked about this on the podcast for months, but we finally got some confirmation. Nathan Brown of the Indy Star, IndyStar.com. Top Gun Racing confirms plans for 2021 Indy 500 with sights set on full 2022 IndyCar campaign.
You're saying that with a smirk on your face. If nobody can see him, smirk on it. Now he's laughing. You were able to read this story by Nathan Brown. I was not because I don't have a subscription to the Star.
They have a deal. It's like $39 for a year.
Really?
Right, yeah.
It's a steal.
Yeah. I got 6 months for $1 per month. So
that adds up to $12 for the year.
Well, I think it's a 6 month and then
when they get you.
Yeah.
But okay.
Price.
You know, details, you know, cause I wasn't able to get them from the article. So
we've learned the names of the people behind this. So it's Bill Throckmorton is one of them, along with Gary Trout. They have a shop, outside of Indianapolis. They have a driver. They're going to run with RC Enerson, which again, we knew all this last year and it didn't work because there are no fans in the stands. Well, this year sounds like they are full go and they're basically going to, you know, this was the exclusive article or whatever with the Star. So to me, this is the announcement. I'm sure they'll probably do something more formal closer to the IndyCar season starting because you're going to get more press that way. But they plan to enter the Indy 500. And I think what surprised me is that would be the 32nd confirmed car, not car and driver, but car for the 500. What surprised me is they also talked about how there's a chance that they could run more races this season, which I think caught me off guard.
Well, I mean, the hope is there, optimism, but every team that enters IndyCar or any racing, you know, has delusions, and I don't say delusions, but, you know, wanting to do more races, wanting to do full time. I'll believe it when I see it, to be honest. I hope it happens with Top Gun Racing. I just have a hard time seeing a team make its first appearance in May and then next year go full time. When's the last time we saw somebody just jump into the deep end like that in IndyCar?
I don't really know.
Couldn't even tell you. I mean, because it's just unprecedented this time. We've seen how it's worked well for guys like Michael Shank in their, you know, gradual entrance into the tournament, or into the tournament. I'm sorry, the watching, you know, basketball here, talking about the tournament, into IndyCar as a full member. I just feel like it's really, really optimistic to say we're going to do one race and then come back and do more that year and then jump in full time. If I was Top Gun Racing, my goal would be to make the Indianapolis 500, and that's it.
Yes, I would agree. And some more details on what they have. So they have a brand new car, a backup tub. They haven't added the aero screens yet. An engine deal is all but signed, according to the article. And they have a yet-to-be-announced primary sponsor, Trout says, is back in motorsports for the first time in 40-some years. So they've teased the U.S. Navy Blue Angel Squadron, you know, with colors on Facebook, on one of their Facebook pages. And you looked it up. You found a, was that a Dale Jr. NASCAR?
I don't think it was a Dale Jr. It looked
it was
like
88.
A, was it really?
And it had Navy as the sponsor on
Maybe
the car. So
trying to go through
you
my...
sent that to me the other day, but you know, we think it's something to do with the Navy because of just what they've teased.
I mean, could it be another sponsor, but they just use that paint scheme?
Could be, yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe, you know, just to, you know, go with Top Gun Racing, and maybe it's not the Navy, but they're just using it as their livery type thing.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I found interesting is they were both very adamant about why would we partner with a team? Like, they own all the assets for the car and the team, so they don't want to partner with the team. They own everything, and that's why they don't want to have a technical alliance. They have no interest, which I found interesting.
Which is fine, but it's also just raises the eyebrows for me. Like, it's very difficult for me to see a team brand new to the series just come in and say, we're going to do the 500 with no help. We're not going to be a partner with anybody else. Oh, by the way, we're planning on potentially running more events, and next year you're going to see us full time. Like, this is a lot, right? I think they're underestimating the difficulty of IndyCar, and we've seen time after time after time again, teams do that. And I just think they're in for a rude awakening.
And they're very confident on the sponsor because one of the quotes that Trout said, our backing is going to give us an advantage on the funding side. And that they've shared the primary sponsor with Roger Penske. A total of five people know who the primary sponsor is, and they're hyping it up to be a really big deal.
So it better be a big deal at this point.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And look, that's fine and all, but your sponsor that is so solid, as they're saying, if you do not make the Indianapolis 500, you may not have that sponsor anymore going forward for additional races, let alone next year. I mean, you know, you can sell it like it's a big thing, but the fragility of the sport itself, and that's why I say, look, who cares about other races? Who cares about 2022? I understand you're dreaming big, you're selling a lot, but you got to make the race first, especially in a field that we're looking at right now, Caleb, thinking 36, 37?
Yeah.
I mean, three or four cars are going to go home.
And that's with, so as we kind of shift from Top Gun to the Indy 500 field. So we didn't get official confirmation from Carlin, shocker, but we did get that Max Chilton will be back because he was part of the IndyCar content day or whatever last Friday. And what I found interesting is that they also put out there that they plan to run a second car for the Indy 500. And they don't have a driver, or, well, I guess Chilton is the driver for the first car. They still need the oval driver. But, you know, this, and we have, we're one car short, basically, right now. Plus, we can expect, you know, probably one to two from Dryan Reinbold. then throw in a third from Ray Hall. You know, you would think Spencer Pigot would get an opportunity. I would think right. there'd be a sixth Andretti, and I would throw out Oliver Askew mm-hmm. as a strong possibility there.
Sure.
And then outside of that, I mean, is there anyone else I'm forgetting?
You know, Foyt always likes to tease it, but I'm
well, but they have three now with Kimball, so I think true. They're set.
So I think they're set. Could you see, you know, I mean, the third McLaren's all but confirmed?
Yeah, with Montoya.
So, yeah, so it'd be difficult, I think, for anybody to throw in another ring in the hat, but I think, you know, you look at it and I feel we're solid. I mean, do we know what Carpenter's situation would be? Would they?
I would say they're
third.
Full.
Do you think
Connor, Ed, and Rinus VK?
Okay, so, yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility. I think 35 right now on the low end.
Yes,
but when we confirm the 32 confirmed, are we counting just one Carlin? Are we counting zero Carlins? Are we counting two Carlins? As part of that 32.
If so, 32. I think that can counts the one Carlin.
One Carlin. So if it's a, you know, they're entertaining a second one. So yeah, I think we're looking at 35 minimum, maybe 37 maximum.
Yes. Yeah, I see 37 is the maximum, and I think that's, you know, a healthy number. I don't know if we'll get there because it after that it comes down to engine leases and, you know, yeah. The breakdown between Honda and Chevy, and it gets
right.
you know, into
yeah.
the weeds with
I
that.
Agree. So if we had to right now, and it's difficult with just 32 cars to say who would be on the bubble, is there anybody that's confirmed that you say they're going to be fighting an uphill battle to make the race, or somebody that you would put at this point on the brink? I mean, would you throw Simone DiSilvestro in that conversation? Would you throw
no, because the partnership with Penske, I mean,
true.
and they announced the sponsor Money Lion earlier this week, which that's a Penske sponsor in NASCAR for I think Cindric and Xfinity.
Okay. And
so,
will it be
no
a associate? That will be an associate, correct?
Yes.
So it wasn't their primary.
Correct.
You know, I throw Top Gun Racing in there. I really, especially with no, if they go in it without any partnerships, that's tough.
Yes.
So it'll be difficult to really pinpoint the because, you know, if we would have played this game the last couple of years, the drivers that comfortably made the race, we would say they were on the bubble, right? So,
well, yeah, Dragon Speed
for sure. So, yeah, at this point, it's tough to predict. But let's say, you know, I think we play this game every year, and I'm sure we'll play it in May, is if we have 35, should they all start the race?
No.
34.
Ooh. No, I like the 33, and
I like it, too. I'm just saying, with the situation we're in, you know, it's for how desperate this series is for financially solid teams, it's tough for me to say no to anyone. I mean, I know people have to go home. I know it's the nature of the beast, but man, you know, so all these teams, a majority of these teams count on the 500, right? I mean, we saw it with Carlin when they missed the race. It was devastating for them for the rest of the year. So, I mean, 34 is tough. To send one home, 35, I think you do. And, you know, obviously 36, 37. I'm just, it'll be fascinating to see just how many entries we have. But I definitely feel they'll be bumping in some form.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And one other thing on RC Enerson that Tony DeZeno pointed out on Twitter, Top Gun Racing story is cool, and it would be excellent to see RC Enerson finally get the chance his talent deserves. Even though it seems he's been around for a while, he's still only 24.
Right.
Four IndyCar starts. He was successful in Indy Lights. Remember, he basically had, didn't he like sue Sam Schmidt to leave Indy Lights? And then
really?
Yeah. And then they settled out of court or something. And then he left and drove for Dale Coyne
okay.
for three races, had a top 10. He was ninth, I think, in his first IndyCar start at Watkins
Glen.
Yeah,
he impressed that race. I do remember
that. He filled in at Carlin, I think, in 2019, I believe.
I think it was 19.
And so, you know, he's got a lot of talent. He's quick. He's young, though, and it's good they have a backup top. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. Yeah, I think so. You know, last race was Mid Ohio 2019. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it could be a good effort. I just feel like maybe they're underestimating the difficulty of putting something together and making the race.
Oh, I would agree. As a single car team, I mean, it's really tough
with no data, no partnership. Partners,
yeah.
Right. I mean, and we haven't heard anything like, do they have experienced crew? Are they hiring guys that have been in the paddock before? That's a big indicator. So that's going to be a tell too. Is they bringing in a bunch of guys that are new to the sport? Do they have some experience there? So, you know, we can talk about the equipment and the driver, but I think the team, you know, is just as important when you're entering May.
So Top Gun Racing, all but confirmed basically for the Indy 500. Also, Carlin, Max Chilton back running all the road and street course races, plus the Indy 500. They're still looking for that oval driver. We keep hearing Connor Daly's name for that, if they can make it work. Let's see. Oh, here's another thing. IndyCar Deep Throat is sending us this the other day. This is pretty wild.
Okay.
It's sounding like Jimmy Johnson will run full time in 2022, but the door is still open for him to run every race this year if he wants. My understanding from what I have been told is that Jimmy and Chip Ganassi Racing have a 3-year deal on the table.
Okay.
I asked about, well, how does this impact TK? IndyCar Deep Throat telling me no idea around the TK situation. That's all I was told. So
I feel like if the event that Jimmy Johnson came and said, I want to race all the races, they would find a car for TK. I don't think they would.
Yeah.
They would
go I think so too.
I just have a hard time.
I don't see him running Texas.
No, that's the thing that I see. I have a hard time thinking that he's going to go out in Texas because Texas is wild. Like if his first oval was Indy, you get a couple weeks, you know, practice and qualifying and you work up to it, maybe, but first oval being back-to-back days, doubleheader at Texas, I don't see it. And I think more importantly, you know, Jimmy Johnson may want to do it. I think he would enjoy the challenge. But as a married man with kids, those decisions are kind of taken out of your hands. Those are very much made by your wife. And, you know, you know, some people can criticize it or some people can, you know, kind of question it, but in reality that's what it comes down to. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, if I'm his wife, letting him do it.
Well, yeah, I mean that's a big step, you know, from running run street course races in a car that you have, you know, done what, 3 tests in. In fact, he did another test, his last test before the start of the season. The Chip Ganassi Racing team did a test at Barber earlier this week. And I will say, Jimmy's made a lot of progress. Article on motorsport.com, I don't know if you saw this one, but unofficially, he was 1.357 seconds behind Scott Dixon, who had the fastest time. He's closing the gap. You know, I think for us, we thought, okay, if you can get within a second, you know, by the end of the season, that's, you know, as far as on the practice and qualifying timesheets,
right?
You know, from... You know, at the beginning, we thought, you know, within a second of the car ahead of him,
right,
assuming he would be bringing up the rear unless there was a crash. But to be that close with Dixon, I mean, that's a lot of progress. And he sounded pretty confident that he said, I'm really sensing and feeling the car, and I'm really, really happy with the progress I've made. And it seems like he's made a lot of progress so far.
Yeah, he has. I mean, the question mark, though, is being in traffic and dealing with other cars on track. Like you can be as fast or as slow as you want when you're out there by yourself or, you know, running by yourself on track. It's completely different when you are surrounded by cars, and that's just something you cannot simulate. And I think that's something that's still going to take a lot of work for Jimmy Johnson to get used to. I mean, you're able to run a certain way in stock cars that you can't run in open wheel racing. And that's just something that you cannot simulate until you're on track. So it's encouraging to see that his speed is coming up. I think that's all we all expected him to, you know, be able to show that. That's good. But when you add 22, 23, 24 more cars out there, that's when the real steep learning curve, I think, will come for Jimmy Johnson.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. He's tested at Barber, what, Twice. And he tested at IMS, you know, last summer.
Right.
And then has he had... Yeah, he tested at Sebring. Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing that's going to be so challenging is you go to St. Pete, it's a street course, it's narrow, it's tight, and you can't test there.
Right.
So you're going to get the practice sessions and, you know, looking at... And thankfully, in this motorsport article, David Molcher-Lopez went into the upcoming tests. March 25th, they'll have four cars at IMS for the Indy 500 package. March 29th, Dale Coyne Racing and Carlin will test at Sebring. March 31st, a lot of teams at Texas, AJ Foyt, Andretti, Aaron McLaren SP, Ed Carpenter, Meyer Shank, Ray Hall, and Penske. April 8th and 9th, the open test on the IMS Oval. And I'm guessing that's the, what would have been the, you know, spring training thing.
Type thing.
Right. So that's a 2-day test. Those are upcoming test days. But, you know, the challenge gets exponentially harder at St. Pete because, you, like, yes, you'll get 3 days because this will go into our next thing. So street courses will have 3 day, there'll be 3 day events.
3 day events because you don't want to take it a day of event when people are paying.
Yes. Well, and also, I mean, they still draw a lot of fans on even the Friday. However, the road course events, well, Detroit will be shortened to 2 days, but then the, you know, standard road course events, those will be 2 days as well. And, you know, Gateway, for example, will be a 1 day event. Texas will be 2 days since it's, you know, a doubleheader. So changes there. It makes sense. I'm just concerned. Will they keep doing this next year?
I think it's a wait and see. Let's see how it goes type thing. That's kind of, I think it's smart, for
sure.
Oh,
I do too.
You know,
right now,
I don't think you really need 3 days in this day and age. We're seeing, you know, I don't think Cup ever goes back to 3 days, at least the majority of its, events, even when they start qualifying and practicing again. And, you know, Formula One entertained it a couple, you know, last year, a couple times, right? They did some 2 day. Now it was a lot easier when there was no fans at a lot of their races, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Formula One does that going forward. So it's kind of a trend. Now here's a question for you. When you were mentioning that testing schedule, an IMS test in late March on the Oval, is that what you said?
Yeah. March 25th. That's four cars. That's for the package.
Okay.
And then the open test is April 8th and 9th.
Gotcha. So the four cars are not going to be from the same team.
Most likely not. Okay. I would hope not.
Will Jimmy Johnson test on the Oval?
Ooh. I would think he would on the April like 8th and 9th test.
Do you think, you know, him and TK share the car? You know, TK shakes it down, Jimmy gets in for a while, then TK jumps back in, or do you think they run two separate cars for them?
I could see TK getting the car, you know, shook down and then putting some laps in at most. I mean, you just think, same with Grosjean. You know how Grosjean's already hinted at wanting to run Gateway and... Sorry, the track formerly known as Gateway.
We're going to always call it Gateway.
I'm always going to call it the track formerly known as Gateway, just to be annoying. But you would think you'd be interested, you know, you're sitting there, you're watching, you know, how can you not want to say, well, I'm on the team now, I'm a driver,
right?
Can I strap it? And, you know, I was at IMS years ago when Kurt Busch did a test of Ryan Hunter Ray's car back in, it's like 2012, or 13 before he ran the Indy 500 at 14.
Right.
So I think it'll happen eventually before the end of the season.
I think so. And you know, just imagine if Jimmy Johnson even gets in the car for a shakedown or whatever at IMS in April. Can you imagine then the questions to Jimmy Johnson if he would run the 500?
Oh, I mean, it would... That story would be huge.
Yeah. I really feel that I don't see a situation where he does not get in the car, at least somewhat. It could be 5 laps, could be 10 laps, could be 100 laps. I don't know, but I feel we'll still see Jimmy Johnson in the car at the IMS test.
Yeah, I think he will do something, whether it's just, you know, a couple of, you know, under speed laps. You know, I'm not saying he's going to get above 200, but, you know, I could see something happening before the end of this season. And, you know, like any car deep throat told us, I mean, he can change his mind. He has the option.
Yeah.
If he so desires to go that route and be full time, which again, I think I'd be surprised in year one, but year two would not surprise me one bit. The other bit of news, and you know, I'm glad they're doing this, but I feel like they waited too long to announce this, and that the IndyCar iRacing Challenge is coming back for season two, March 18th, 25th, and April 1st. They'll have three races, Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So first race on March 18th will be at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Montreal. That's the F1 track in Canada. Then on March 25th, Homestead Miami Speedway Oval. Then Thursday, April 1st, fan-voted track. All right, fan vote. What do we expect? Milwaukee Mile. They did Michigan last year.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say
the first two.
So they have Circuit Gilles Villeneuve and Homestead Miami Speedway.
Won't be Indy.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's got to be Indy, right?
Probably Indy. Indy, Milwaukee. I mean Fontana, Michigan,
Iowa,
Iowa,
Edmonton, Cleveland.
I don't know if those are on iRacing. I don't think they are.
I feel like they could say quote unquote fan vote or whatever, but I just feel like it's IMS.
You think it's that much of a lock? Do you think Indy will beat out Milwaukee on the poll?
It may not, but they'll manipulate it to say it did. I mean, there's no way you do an iRacing without IMS. You just don't. And I guess that leads me to another thing. Like, I saw we retweeted it. I saw it come out today. What was your initial reaction? Were you excited? Were you like, I mean, are you going to watch?
I'll probably catch some of it, but one, I knew this was coming because we'd read something a week ago, like on a different website, that they were bringing it back. But to me, I'm concerned that it's too late in the game. Once the NCAA tournament starts, like the casual fan is checked out and locked in on that. And especially because, so this starts next Thursday. Aren't there first round game?
Yeah. No, first four is Tuesday.
First four. Okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday. So the first day of the first round is Thursday.
No, it's Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh, they moved it back a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, I guess you get that, but you're kind of out of sight, out of mind, though, is my take. Like, the perfect time to do it would have been after the Super Bowl in February.
Yeah, I just...
Also, these aren't going to be on TV.
No, which...
They'll be on the IndyCar YouTube and then IndyCar.com.
I just don't see a lot of people watching them.
And Facebook page.
Yeah. I mean, you know... Like you mentioned, with your Super Bowl, right after the Super Bowl, there's no auto racing going on. None. Well, and you're stuck.
Daytona.
Well, I mean, was it around the same time as Daytona last year when they did it? Was it before?
No, they started way later.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I mean, obviously it was after everything we entered unprecedented times.
This would have been like in April.
Yeah. So,
and they don't have all the drivers, which look, you can't make them all do it. Last year, I understand why they did that last year.
Rossi was salty.
Yeah. The drivers expected to be competing: Newgarden, RHR, Pagenaud, Power, Sato, Rosenquist, Ray Hall, Ed Carpenter, Pato, Pillow, Connor, McLaughlin, Grosjean, and one Road to Indy TV driver each week. Yeah, it's I don't know. I will check it out, I guess, but it's a weird time, like 6:30 p.m. Eastern on a Thursday.
Yeah.
One, we're usually recording or getting ready to record then. Two, like, why not do it a little bit later for like West Coast viewers? And I get people are probably groaning listening to this, like, who cares? Start every race at noon. It's like, okay, but this is a streaming thing. I feel like you'll get a younger audience if you go later, like if you go 8 or 9.
Right. It's difficult. I think this is a good thing to the priority should be to highlight the personalities of the drivers. I think that was the biggest benefit last year when they did this.
Yes. And thankfully, no IndyCar drivers drop the N word.
Yeah. Thankfully. but you know, yeah, you do that. And, then you get back in the series and you win a race like Kyle Larson did last week. But, that's all I'm looking for is entertainment value is being able to sell these guys as personalities. And I think that's where they need to treat it. you know, hopefully they don't take it overly serious, anything like that. You know, I don't want people like intentionally wrecking people, but
Lando Norris
at the same time, like, that's fine. Like, if it gets reactions out of people and they're laughing and have a good time, and you know, maybe it creates a rivalry, even if you get a little pissy, that's fine. That's kind of what I'm seeing. I really don't care who wins this. I just want to see the personalities of IndyCar drivers, because as we've talked about before, Caleb, I don't think those are profiled as much as they should be.
No. And that's a continuing thing that, you know, what I like about this is that the drivers will have their Twitch streams, and what will help is that Grosjean is really big on Twitch.
Yeah.
And he'll bring a lot of followers and a lot of eyeballs to this.
And I think TK, I keep seeing he's on Twitch.
Yeah, he's on Twitch and really growing his following there as well.
So it's just you playing video games, basically? Is Twitch or what?
You know, like he held his Q&A, like press conference on Twitch.
Okay.
Grosjean did as well.
Gotcha.
Yes, like you can play video games or stream stuff.
Okay, it's just basic. Okay.
It's kind of like having, you know, it's a live stream, which you can do on YouTube as well.
Right. Okay.
But it's known for video games. That's kind of like the...
Gotcha. I'm just picturing TK playing like Street Fighter or something, and people watching it.
I mean, yeah, that could be interesting.
I may tune in actually for that. But no, I think it's one of those iRacing things where I don't have a hankering for it. Last year, we needed it. Nothing was going on, right? I mean,
yeah.
If it was the depths of the off season, I'd need it, right? But you're looking next week, as you mentioned, March Madness, but you know, NASCAR's underway, so that's already starting to bore me, but I'll still tune in because I bet on it. And I like to see, you know, how close I come to winning, but eventually lose. Formula One has testing this week, and then they're off a week, and then the season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Formula One right around the corner, IndyCar getting closer. I don't have that desire for it as I would this time last year when everything was going away. And definitely if it was, you know, in the cold, dark recesses of winter, say, you know, the start of January.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the time it would have been better for this.
I think once again, this is going to go into a topic we're going to bring up too, I'm sure, Caleb, and something we've talked about before. We used to, you know, IndyCar was very reactionary for a long time, and then it became proactive. And now I'm seeing a return to the reactionary type things. This is another thing that they're late on. But as it comes up, you know, we look at... we've talked about the problems with the engine formula and the engine package. They're reacting to the market, right?
Yes.
We're seeing a story pop up with fuel.
Yes, glad you brought that up.
Right? They're reacting to the market. Now they're being asked about a streaming series or something similar to Drive to Survive. They're reacting. You know, NASCAR is already working on something similar with their, I think it's like a Hollywood-based marketing thing, something that IndyCar doesn't even have, right? Something Hollywood-based. So they're reacting to that. So we're seeing a return for IndyCar the last couple of years, no longer being proactive in some of these things. They're behind in engine formula. They're behind in fuel. They're behind in the streaming wars, especially with Formula One's Drive to Survive success. They're behind with iRacing. It's just we're kind of returning to that time when IndyCar was just behind everyone else. And for a while they were breaking, you know, ground, and now they're not. You know, throw AeroScreen in there. Reactionary, right? After the Halo and after the incidents, right?
I would say with the AeroScreen though, they came up with something that's superior to the Halo.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that in respect is probably, it was good to wait and properly develop it. I understand, but you know, with those other things we mentioned, and, you know, IndyCar is falling behind once again in some of these critical areas.
Yeah, you mentioned e-fuel. Marshall Pruitt of Racer.com has an article up on that. I'm not even going to pretend to understand
one of those
of
Marshall stories where we were lost.
IndyCar still open to zero emission fuel move. That's the headline, and that's about as deep as I'm going to get into that. And then also,
so it burns clean. Is that what like zero emissions is? Like it doesn't pollute.
I guess so. Again, I don't understand.
I mean, remember when, you know, ethanol was a big thing and IndyCar was ahead of the game in ethanol, and now it's, you know, is it gone the game?
From the sport? I mean, ethanol is in NASCAR, I believe.
Right. I mean, ethanol is in our cars, basically. So
there would be no KERS in the package if they use e-fuel.
I mean, I couldn't even tell you what the hell KERS is.
Kinetic energy recovery system.
Which, yes.
So like when they break, the kinetic energy is stored in like a battery. And then, so like F1 cars have been using that though since like 2009.
Yeah, and now IndyCar is finally getting on it 12 years later. This is what we're talking about, reactionary, right? And in a market where you are not as, I would say, cutting edge in terms of tomorrow's technology in automobiles, like Formula One is, like sports cars is and will be, then you're going to lose out on opportunities with car companies and automakers. And it's exactly what we're seeing, the situation and the trouble to find a third OEM. But like we said last week, the goal should be to hang on to the two you have. And if those two want, you know, emission-free fuel, then you got to make it happen. And if they want alternative energies, you got to make it happen. So, you know, IndyCar needs to get back to getting in front of some of these things.
You also mentioned the scripted TV series, Marshall Pruitt, Racer.com, also with an article on that. And the quote that I saw that stuck out, yes, there's a lot of interest on our behalf, and there's also a lot of interest externally in doing something with us at this point. So right now, there are a lot of different things being reviewed. Stay tuned on that. So
that's
not really an update.
That's a third OEM quote to me. That is, we're talking to a lot of people. We have interested parties. You know, we're hoping that's just... It's the Charlie Brown adults. It's the Peanuts adult. Until something happens, you know, people are saying, okay, put it on Peacock, or can it be like, what was it, IndyCar 36 or whatever that they did?
Yeah. IndyCar 36 on
was it 36?
Like, Versus.
Yeah, like back.
Those were interesting.
They were interesting, but that's not what is going to grab casual fans. The beauty of Drive to Survive is that it's on the biggest streaming service in the world. And so people would stumble upon it that aren't Formula One fans and become Formula One fans. That's why it worked. So when you're looking at IndyCar's equivalent, it can't just be something where the only people that see it and can find it are people that are looking for it, that are IndyCar fans. It has to be on a streaming service. Like Peacock, I guess, would work because it's an NBC-wide thing, but, you know... I'm thinking, you know, Netflix, I'm thinking, you know, Prime, I'm thinking, you know, I get Hulu. I mean, those are where this thing has to be. It can't be anchored on the app, or it cannot be anchored in the top tier, pay tier of Peacock or whatever. I mean, you know, you have to put it out and mass market it in a place that people are going to stumble upon it and become fans of the series. It can't just be marketed to your fans already. That's the key. And I don't know, honestly, if IndyCar has any people interested in that type of series. Like, are they going to call from Amazon Prime saying we're interested in doing a Drive to Survive for IndyCar? I mean, that'd be great if they are, but I just find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I'd find it hard to believe. And, you know, IndyCar used to have, like, offices in New York and L.A. for, like, entertainment to seek out projects. And I'm talking, like, this is, what, 2011, 12, 13, like, way back. And with Penske Entertainment, you know, at the helm, I would think they would want to shift back to something like that. Hopefully, I'm not saying they need to have a physical office, but at least have like a representative, you know, in those areas to kind of develop those ideas and have the contacts to get there. And hopefully that's something that's being worked on.
Well, and I think there was a bit of a dose of reality in that story too, because everybody says, well, you know, IndyCar's got IMS Productions. They can do whatever they want, but IMS Productions, I think, does a lot more things behind the scenes that a lot of people realize.
Correct. They don't just do IndyCar.
Yeah.
That's what people think they do.
Right.
But, I mean, they do basketball games and events and, you know, stuff that production companies do. It's not just IndyCar. They're not just busy the 17 race weekends a year.
Yeah. And then they're just sitting there and not doing anything.
They produce a lot of sporting events and things like that.
Right. And I think the greater point is, look, if we do this in-house, we're not making a single cent off it. We're spending the money to do this. So they want, and you know, it sounds like, you know, it could be just, you know, they could be bullcrapping, but They could be, if they have a company that's coming in and saying, hey, we want to pay IndyCar X amount of money to come in and do this, that's the deal you're looking for. You're not looking to do it in-house and make nothing on it. So if there is an entity out there that has approached IndyCar, absolutely, that's the way to go.
Remember Turbo?
Yes. Yeah. You know, that big movie that was going to put the Indy 500 and then the IndyCar on the map. I never did see it. Did you?
Yeah, I saw it. I was like at the, like a special premiere. Oh,
look at
whatever.
You.
Yeah.
Was it an okay movie?
Yeah. For an animated, I'm not an animated film guy and it's a kid's movie, but
right.
It was a good movie, but because it was DreamWorks, not Disney, I don't think it.
Or Pixar. And was this before Pixar was owned by Disney too?
I think so. I mean, this came out in like 2012 or 13. Yeah. So, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't like this, you know, game changing thing.
Which they kind of marketed it as capturing millions of little kids that were going to flock to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway the year after.
Well, whether you agree, disagree, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us at newtrackrecordpodcast.com. Also, while you're there, subscribe to our weekly email. And that way you never miss an episode. In fact,
never, ever.
If you missed last week's episode with Chris Medlin, be sure to check that out. Good interview there with him.
It's just worth re-listening just to hear the accent. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, soothing Chris sounds of Chris Medlin.
That, you know, I didn't think about, oh, he's going to have a British accent until I got on the phone with him. Like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But you can also find us on many different podcast platforms. You can follow or subscribe. So I learned this week, there's an article that a lot of people don't subscribe to podcasts that term because they think they have to pay.
What?
It was something like 47% of like older adults or something in America think that like subscribe means you have to pay. No, you don't have to pay. It's free to subscribe or you can follow, which that's apparently the new buzzword is you follow us on these podcast platforms. So follow us on Apple Podcasts while you're there. Give us a 5-star rating if you're really nice. Write a review if you're really, really nice. You can follow us on Spotify, Overcast, CastBox, Player FM, iHeart, Podchaser, pretty much anywhere you find your podcast, Google Podcasts, for example. Podcast episodes are also posted 1380thefan.com and on the weekends at WOWO.com. Follow us on social media. IndyCar Podcast is our handle on Twitter. And on Facebook, like us, New Track Record. Just search for that. And you can email us, newtrackrecordpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, time for the mailbag, Justin, we have a ton of tweets to get to.
Ton of tweets. I'm reading of some tweets of our latest. We haven't got a review in a couple months.
It's been a while. So people, please throw us a bone.
Come do it. But you know, the last one still is from Stitch0382 that says, sometimes I think Justin needs a hug, which is absolutely true.
Still true.
Yeah, still true here in 2021. But what we got in the mailbag?
All right. So we got Nick J. Fletcher. This on the Top Gun Racing story. Does this mean Kenny Loggins is playing Carb Day?
Yes.
I wish.
Man.
And then this one is amazing. Poet Shevchenko. It's the 2021 Indy 500. Last round of green flag pit stops. PT starts sweating. More and more cars coming into the pits. Will he get a chance to say it? Top Gun Racing is the last running. The time has come. Top Gun Racing is driving into the danger zone, Paul Tracy.
You can hear his voice even saying that, right?
Even though, and you follow that up saying, oh, that's usually a thing on road courses, not ovals. But hey, still applies here. I think it's a good application of the term.
I agree.
All right. Responses on, will you watch the IndyCar iRacing Challenge? Nick J. Fletcher, give me the Bandolero Bandits at Eldora and I'm 100% in. Surprise fourth race of vintage Lotus at Spa, qualify, then flip the field 3 minutes before the green flag. Let's go. That'd be fun.
Right.
Poet Shevchenko just responds with yes. R. Cole, my heart says yes, but my brain says I will most likely forget it's on.
That's pretty much where I'm at. Like, yes, it sounds good. And then you start thinking about it and you're like on a Thursday and there's going to be basketball on. And quite frankly, by Thursday after this, after we record, I'm beat.
Yes.
So, when's it supposed to start at night?
Well, again, it's not going to be on next Thursday.
Not next Thursday?
No.
Okay.
Well, oh, you're saying IndyCar.
Well, yeah, when's the IndyCar?
Oh, that is next Thursday, the 18th. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern.
So we could be recording and watching it, is what you're saying.
Well, yes.
I don't know if that's very exciting.
I don't think people need a live reaction podcast.
No, because I think if they have insomnia, to be honest, they could probably just watch the iRacing anyway.
Well, yeah, because it'll be on like the YouTube and Facebook. Yeah. You can just rewatch it, which yeah. I'll probably just do because I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think I probably won't watch it live. I'll come back to it and hopefully, get some quotable moments out of it with the drivers. I couldn't care less what happens on track.
Arcole also followed this up with, if IndyCar can't get the dates correct, how am I supposed to remember? Yeah, they got the dates wrong on the tweet, and then they corrected it in a, to someone who responded to them, but yeah, not a good start.
That, as a person that has had to deal on social media over the years, that's a, okay, I'm going to delete this tweet and pretend it never happened type thing.
Right?
I'm not correcting it in a second tweet, I'm just deleting the entire thing.
Yes, I would agree. Jensen EV, probably, maybe it will be better run this year, and some notably talented drivers won't hate it.
yeah, I think the noticeably talented drivers that hate it are not doing it this year.
Yes. Some more tweets. This from NCapteen185. I agree, let's get some kind of Netflix thing going. NASCAR, F1, and even the Xfinity series puts on a better production than IndyCar. Sad. Justin, call up your boy Kanan and get this ball rolling, LOL. On a serious note, when will we find out about Indy ticks, Caleb? Well, not sure on Indy 500 tickets. I would think, normally they go out in the mail around this time of year. Like, right. I got my tickets last year, like, right before everything shut down.
Yeah. I think what we're hearing is probably we won't hear until April, but yeah. Things are so fluid. So even as we're recording now, the president is doing a speech, and one of his goals is to have the vaccine available to every adult. Now, I don't know what quote unquote adult means, over 18, over 21. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
To every adult by May 1. So if that conceivably happens and this race is not run until the 30th,
yep,
that bodes pretty well for at least 50% capacity,
plus,
maybe more.
He announced earlier this week that he's ordering an additional 100 million Johnson & Johnson vaccines. So nice. That's more in the supply. Now, I don't know when those will be available.
Right.
But his goal in that was saying July 4th, would be a... And of course, they're going to use July 4th.
Yeah, as okay, a, like, America.
as a, return to normal. But just looking at the way things are trending, and as long as we don't have another outbreak, due to... sporting events,
yeah.
In the next month, aka NCAA tournament and Major League Baseball opening day, plus what else? Oh, spring break,
yeah.
Going on the next like few weeks.
I think a lot of eyes are going to be on Texas because
yes.
Texas is just saying we're open, right?
Yep.
And I think if you see cases skyrocket in Texas because of it, then I think other states and other entities were like, well, we can't not yet type thing. But if Texas opens and, a month from now, we're looking at the state and all open and not skyrocketing, then I think that's a good indicator for other states that say, hey, maybe we've reached a point where we can ease some of these things.
Yeah, I think, like you said, because the Texas Rangers are doing full capacity
yeah.
for their opening day game, and that will be a interesting kind of barometer, I think is the word I would use, to see where we're at. Now, granted, that's also like 3 weeks away.
Right.
So things can change a lot in that time.
Right.
Connor Klinkenbeard at C. Klinken. Why can't IndyCar do something cool that's actually cool? Talking about the rumored scripted TV show. Does anyone really think that's a better idea than a docuseries type thing? This feels like being the last kid in a string of birthday parties and parents get you a fruitcake.
sounds like he's talking from personal experience. I don't know,
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
It goes back to being reactionary. So is IndyCar going to be the last one to the party, so to speak, and, maybe not do it right or do it too late? I mean, I think Drive to Survive comes out, what, in a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Season 3? I think it's the weekend that the season starts or the
before? It's actually...
Or the week before?
Yeah, it's like next week.
So it's a week before the season starts, effectively.
March 19th.
Yeah, so it's exactly a week, because I think it's 26th through the 28th is Bahrain.
I believe
weekend.
So.
So perfect timing. You get season 3 up there. People binge watch it. They say, okay, now what? Oh, crap. F1 season's starting. I can watch it. So once again, a little ahead of the game with Formula One, knowing exactly when to release this thing.
Well, you know, I think they know what they're doing.
A little bit.
Well, that wraps up this week's mailbag. As always, you can tweet us, Facebook message us, email us, snail mail us. 2915 2915 Maples Road, Fort Wayne, Indiana. What is it? 46816?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember the zip code, but yeah.
If you're writing us via snail mail, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, time for news and notes. And first thing that stuck out to me, I don't know if you saw this, motorsport.com. Will Power was turned down by Ganassi.
What? I didn't see this.
Yes, a year before he joined Team Penske, he was turned down by Chip Ganassi. They discussed a deal at the end of the 2007 season for a ride. This was on Rusty's Garage podcast. That Power talked about this, and he met with Mike Hull, and Will Power hinted that he lacked the chip factor, and talks didn't progress beyond that meeting.
What do we think the chip factor is?
Chip likes winners, remember?
Oh, yeah, but look at his stable right now.
True. Scott Dixon. Kanaan was a winner.
Well, yeah, I'm not counting Kanaan, but I'm looking at, you know, Marcus Ericsson?
No.
Alex Palou?
No.
So,
Jimmy Johnson's a winner, but...
Yeah.
Totally different situation.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know... Chip Ganassi maybe is in a different position now than he was back then in terms of being able to pick quote unquote winners, because he's kind of lacked them outside of that Scott Dixon car.
Well, and also that's an interesting timeline because he was in Champ Car in 2007. Then with the merger in 2008, he stuck with KV Racing, and naturally that year was hard just because the Champ Car teams were kind of screwed from the beginning.
Right.
So yeah, didn't work, but I just found that interesting for Will Power. It's like, yeah, I mean,
what did you think would happen? You hadn't done anything yet.
This from Marshall Pruitt, speaking of mergers, time to sing happy birthday to the NTT IndyCar Series. The championship we have today, which started as the Indy Racing League, was formally announced 27 years ago on March 11th, 1994.
Now, yeah, congratulations. Happy birthday. You've come a long way. Some good, some bad, I think.
Yeah, right? We don't need to get into all that.
Save
that for another time.
We will bring it up, though, because, you know, the US 500 was posted, what, last week by the IndyCar?
Yes.
And I got around to watching it a couple days ago, at least the first 15 to 20 minutes. And it's a fascinating balancing act pre-race in how they're trying to hype it up and why this race exists, and comparing it to the other Memorial Day race without mentioning the Memorial Day race, but also trying to mention the Memorial Day race to give this more gravitas. And it was just a fascinating approach to it. And it was interestingly on ESPN. So it was almost competing with itself in a lot of ways, right?
Well, it started
race on ABC
before the 500.
Right, but they weren't competing networks. I mean, they were on the same network, right?
ABC versus ESPN.
And ESPN. I mean, you know, ESPN's owned by ABC. So, and maybe, I don't know if that was the case back then or not. I'm not sure, but it was just kind of interesting. But I watched up till the wreck and then kind of fast forwarded a little bit. You know, it was, you could almost sense the heartbreak because they had hyped this thing up so much, all the experience, all the drivers, all the teams, and, you know, David Letterman saying how awesome it was to be there and all that stuff. And it was obviously, he was like, yeah, I'd rather be at Indianapolis type thing. And then Adrian Fernandez causes chaos heading to the green.
I got it switched. So Indy 500 was 2 hours before then.
So the 500 was over?
I believe, or coming concurrent. To the very end.
Okay.
But then again, they had that, like, what, hour red flag due to how many cards were involved? Was it 17?
It was
11?
Something huge. And
it was
then
ridiculous.
I didn't realize that all the drivers were allowed to get backup cards if they had them. Like, I think only three drivers didn't restart the race.
Yeah.
And one was Fernandez, but Yeah, that was obvious. I didn't realize it was Fernandez's fault. It absolutely was getting into Vasser and turning him and then chaos. But I had never really watched it and focused on it. And it was really fascinating. So check it out on YouTube. At least watch the pre-race, which is only about, it was perfect for Caleb. It was maximum like 7-8 minutes. and then they had a lot of time to fill with the hour.
But, yeah.
Just how they step around, you know, they mention the split, but don't talk about it in detail. They mention Indianapolis like once throughout the entire pre-race, hyping up all the drivers and all that stuff. It's just, it's a fascinating commentary on open wheel racing at that time.
Didn't Jimmy Vasser say who needs milk in victory lane or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, in his head, he's going, yeah, I'd much rather be drinking milk.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, you got to sell the product for sure.
Speaking of the Indy 500, so a lot of 500 related stuff. First off, they have that COVID-19 vaccine clinic, nearly 17,000 people vaccinated. So that's exciting. Also with Indy, Michael Schumacher and Paul Page elected to the IMS Hall of Fame. I guess they were nominated before.
Okay.
And now they've been elected. That's not a surprise. I think that's long overdue, to right. be honest. Tickets on sale now for Barber Motorsports Park.
Is it all admission or is it previous ticket holders or is it anybody?
Well, it's everyone now. Okay. So it gotcha. Was originally previous ticket holders late last week and then now it's open to everyone. Capacity is limited. Parking will all be inside the track. So if you've ever been, that's super helpful because mm-hmm. those are usually paid special parking spots.
I'm wondering if Barber will have less capacity than St. Pete. St. Pete's at 20K per day, right?
Yeah. It'll be close. I mean, Barber, you can spread out, but
right.
that's since it's not really, you know, there aren't stands at Barber.
True.
So.
Which I feel helps, though. Spread out a little more.
Yes, in theory, but. Are they going to have to like mark the grass like on the mounds?
True. True. Cause I mean, yeah, you think you can spread all over the place, but in terms of good seats, there are, you know, we can't sit anywhere.
Exactly. You can't pack together. And you know, if you're at the top of the hill, that's great. That's where you want to be.
Yeah. But so does thousands of other yeah. people.
Everyone else wants to be there.
Yeah. Good point.
Toronto IndyCar update. Not really much of an update, but this racer.com's Marshall Pruitt, they're monitoring, everything. Again, in Toronto, all major event permits have been voided through July 1st. The Toronto race is July 9th through 11th.
That's not good.
It's believed special permission would need to be received in order to start circuit construction 3 to 4 weeks prior to the race.
So June 1, probably, first week of June, make a decision there, yeah. the last possible
yeah.
time.
Yeah, and... The president of the event, Jeff Atkinson, told Racer, "We're cautiously optimistic as each day that goes by and each day gets us closer to an answer of what will happen."
I mean, that just seems like a mantra for life, right? It's cautiously optimistic that tomorrow and the next day will bring good news.
You're not wrong. I'm not very confident in that event just because of the restrictions and also like, Canada is not letting Americans just like cross the border, you know, whenever they
right.
want. That's not open. So
yeah, that's not
that also
thing.
Has to change.
So, you know, I feel like I think the less news right now or, you know, the longer we go without an answer, I feel like is a more positive thing to me, quite frankly. I think the longer they let this thing play out and if numbers continue to decline in Canada as well as the United States, then maybe you can have it happen. I think if they canceled it right now, obviously it's not coming back. But I think if you give it time, give it a couple months, we'll see where we're at.
Did you see this? James Hinchcliffe had an injury this offseason that required rehabilitation.
Was it something to do with his internet connection?
Not that I'm aware
of. He's climbing on his roof to try to fix his Wi-Fi.
He is healthy for 2021. They declined to go into any further detail on that. But I just thought that was interesting. Also, this from... Nathan Brown of the Indy Star in conversation with Chilton. Chilton asked whether he'd ever reconsider his decision not to drive non-Indy 500 ovals, said he feels he gave it a good shot, but it was a lifestyle decision. Said he knows there are others in the paddock who wish to make a similar decision as him, but elected not to name them.
Huh.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I guess I'm... I don't know if I'm really surprised.
You would think Bourdais like runs Indy because he has to.
And I think people, you know, I think the cliche talk is, oh, he used to hate ovals and now he loves them. I don't think he loves them.
No.
I think he does them because they're part of the championship.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Yeah, it's part of the job. But
he has gotten pretty solid.
Yeah, he's definitely improved, but that doesn't mean he likes them.
Yeah,
correct. I mean, I would venture to say that close to a third of the drivers aren't fans of racing at Texas.
Yeah.
Because I am terrified of Texas, that's for sure. So it's an interesting statement, but I can't say I'm surprised at it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, we've seen other drivers leave in the past, like Mike Conway left.
Right.
I mean, ovals because of the, to be fair, the crash that he had was horrifying. And what was that, 2010?
Yeah.
11?
Yeah, so, you know, Chilton was just one of those that made that decision before he had a real serious shunt, for sure.
Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing released their Indy 500 livery. It'll be sponsored by, is it Total?
Total, I think Total, yeah.
Total USA.
Which has been in the sport for a while, watching one of the classic races on YouTube.
They're a classic racing sponsor. Yeah. Are they French, right? Is it like a French oil thing?
I used to think it was Total, the toothpaste. It was back in the day.
Colgate Total. Yeah, yeah. I use that.
Yeah, but I was proven wrong.
So the car looks like Bobby Rahal's 1986 Indy 500 winning all red livery. So you think red roof ends, but instead it just has Total on it. It'll also be the livery for Portland and Long Beach.
Nice.
So car looks cool. They've done a good job of promoting like all the different liveries they have and mixing it up this year. I think it's something you keep an eye on.
They have really done over the last couple of years, I think, more than anybody in the paddock, activation for their sponsors.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they make every livery announcement for every primary sponsor a big deal.
I would agree.
You know,
also this from Nate Ryan, probably won't see Kamui Kobayashi in an IndyCar race this year. But he says it's possible he could be in an IMSA victory lane with Jimmy Johnson and Simon Pagenaud, maybe at Sebring, especially if Action Express Racing and Team Hendrick improve pit stops. What an answer.
Ouch.
He's an ace in sports cars. He can say that.
Well, and two, I think it was Sebastian Bourdais who was quoted. He says what's on his mind. I mean, Kobayashi does not mince words. If you ask him, how's the car? And he'll say, you know, it effing sucks if it effing sucks. So, yeah, I don't think any of us expected, even with that story that came out when he was asked about IndyCar, that 2021 was an option. I definitely could see him in the conversation for an open seat in 2022. And I feel like Kobayashi's in a position where he's not just going to take an open ride. I think it has to be a good open seat.
Santino Ferrucci, did you see this?
Nope.
13th place in his Xfinity? Second Xfinity Series race. So his debut, he had a cut tire and a crash, but last weekend at Las Vegas, 13th. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's solid. I didn't watch a second of NASCAR last week. I mean, we're back into a mile and a half. And
yeah, I watched a little, but yes, I watched Michigan State. That was more exciting.
Right. Yeah.
At the time.
And, you know, I think it's going to be the case for the next several weekends is basketball's going to win over auto racing, at least NASCAR.
Pietro Fittipaldi has added another drive for him this season. G-Drive LMP2 squad and ELMS, I believe that is, the European Le Mans Series. So he's doing a lot of things. I also saw an IndyCar.com article that he did his rehab after his, like, broken legs staying in a motorhome at IMS. Like, he just stayed there during the summer.
Huh.
I thought that was interesting. Couple of other things to get to before tweets of the week. Let's see. One more. Okay, trivia time.
Oh,
courtesy
God.
Of Indy Stats. I have the answer, so I can't.
See, this isn't fair. Then I look like a buffoon. Okay.
All right. This is one that I think you can get, though.
Which is even more pressure.
Well, because like the last time I did one, it was pretty difficult.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here's the question.
All right.
Since 1996, how many times has a driver started a race from pole position but failed to finish a lap? Who are the drivers and what were the races? CART, Champ Car results included. Just give me the number of times and then I'll run down the list. I could think of two off the bat.
I'll say six.
That's correct.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, I mentally counted them all up in my head.
All right.
No, we'll I didn't. That was a total guess.
All wow. Right. Scott Sharp, 1997, IRL, Pikes Peak. Dario Franchitti, 1998, CART, Mid-Ohio. Juan Pablo Montoya, 2000, CART, Surfer's Paradise. Scott Sharp, 2001, IRL, Indianapolis. That's the one I knew of.
Yeah.
Dario Franchitti, 2012, IndyCar, Iowa. And Sebastian Saavedra, 2014, IndyCar, Indianapolis GP. That was the other one that I knew off the top of my head.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I sounded as smart, which, as everyone knows that's listening, is definitely not the case. For sure. Yeah, that Scott, we've talked about before, that Scott Sharp was just brutal with Kelly Racing as a local team, you know, being on pole. I mean, the media attention locally for that entire week was just incredible, talking to Kelly and everybody, and you know, every newspaper in town and TV station was down at Indy, potentially Kelly Racing competing to win the Indianapolis 500, and they can't even complete a lap. It was rough.
Very rough, and
entirely his fault. Entirely yes. His fault. Got too low.
Got too low, and we see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
You don't want to hit the rumble strips in the concrete.
You do not.
In turn one.
At all.
The only guy to get away with that is Carlos Munoz.
Yeah, made it happen. And now he can't even get a ride.
Yeah, that's true, which is a bummer because I think he was very exciting at IMS. Yeah. All right. Anything that we missed?
I don't think so. I think we touched on pretty much everything. I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but it'll be nice to see some F1 testing this weekend in Bahrain. I don't know if we'll find out much of anything, but you know, the car reveals and stuff have been nice. Is there a favorite livery you have, Caleb?
Not Ferrari, not Williams.
You don't like Mercedes. You don't like the no. Red and Mercedes there.
Not
Haas.
Not Haas. The car looks clean, but yeah. Other issues going on.
Hey,
clean look, dirty money.
See, that could be their slogan.
Yeah.
Well, they did have Rich Energy, so, you know, there's some sketchiness there.
I would say Alpine looks good. I don't like the Ferrari either. It's just wet.
Well, they got like a green
McLaren
on there, don't they?
Is the same as like the year before.
Yeah.
But I did like McLaren's livery last year. So
it was fine.
I don't know. Alpine, I think, is the one.
I would agree.
Aston Martin. How could I forget that one?
Aston
I think
Martin's
with the forest green. I mean, it's a classic look.
Right. That's true. I think I'm going Aston Martin too.
Yeah. I think that's my final answer.
I like the Mercedes more than you do. You just don't like the red.
It just doesn't fit.
I would agree that it looks kind of off. Did it mean something? I can't remember. Was the red for something?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. But no, that's our livery update with Formula One. And we'll see how testing goes. At least we'll get on track this weekend in Formula One and then kick the season off in a couple weeks.
In an alternate universe, we would have been recapping the Honda Grand Prix of St. Petersburg this week.
If we were doing that, what would be the storyline you feel?
Ooh. I mean, obviously, the result for Jimmy Johnson in his first race, Scott McLaughlin, Romain Grosjean. But I think ultimately, I think we'd be talking about Colton Herta or Pato O'Ward.
See, everybody's on this whole Herta and O'Ward train.
I mean, third and fourth in the championship last year.
True. But Pato still needs to win his first race.
True.
Herta, you know.
We'll get to title picks down the road, like the hot picks are Herta and O'Ward, as opposed to, you know, Penske guy or Rossi.
Yeah.
Or Dixon.
I think we've talked about it before. I think people are so quick to want to crown the next crop of stars that they will go out of their way to do it. Like, I don't know if Pato O'Ward is ready yet. I mean, is McLaren ready to compete for a championship? I'm not sure. So
they have the drivers.
I'm more of a wait and see, prove it to me. I still think there's a lot of hurdles and a lot of drivers you need to beat to get there, but definitely showed promise last year.
To be fair, last year they exceeded expectations as far as in the standings, but we also thought, you know, if Pato O'Ward is going to be as good, like, you know, we thought they could win a race after like the first race or two,
right?
And that didn't happen.
He
should have won, you know,
mm-hmm.
two races,
right?
If not more.
So I just feel it's that year where Pato O'Ward gets a win or two. I still feel like we're a year away from him being a championship contender, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Tweets of the week as we wrap it up. First one from Derek Daly, Derek Daly 500. So we made a lot of fuss about Connor Daly's mullet, and Derek Daly responding, not a debut, a re-entry. He had a mullet back in the day in kart.
But was it as good?
Looking at the picture, I mean, he's got longer hair on top, and it's, I mean, he's got the curly, you know, in the
that's
back.
That's a dirty mullet. Then again, I mean, the mullet now could be dirty because that's like a post-race picture.
Yeah.
Or helmet off. So
Connor's was like perfectly coiffed.
Yeah.
Because he had just gone to the salon which and got it done.
Yeah, which is not going to happen race weekend when you got your helmet on. So maybe we'll have to have a compare and contrast once we have Connor Daly post-race or post-practice.
All right. So last week, I think I sent a trolling tweet or I think there was something else because they posted Elio's, you know, 500 second 500 win. And so Motorsport did a sit down with Elio describing his emotional third Indy 500 triumph. And there's an article. Someone responded, second Indy 500 triumph. Sorry. Then Elio responded with, you should be sorry when you were wrong, with the tongue out like emoji. I just thought it was hilarious. He pointed it out.
That is funny. Yeah.
It's nice to see him kind of say something back, because for so long, it's always, you know, people have joked that Paul Tracy won the race and blah, blah, blah.
But I think it's far enough away that
it's funny that everyone can joke about it now.
Yes. Well, maybe not Paul Tracy, but no,
he jokes about
it. Yeah, I know he can, but I think still deep down, he's a little sensitive about it. I would be, but you know, Elio, your face is on there three times. They're not taking it off. You're fine.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up this week's episode. Next week, we'll be back with more news on IndyCar. And wouldn't surprise me if we had some details on fan capacity for events moving forward. Maybe additional Indy 500 entry announcements, something like that. I think we're kind of in a waiting game right now, but I think we'll see some announcements roll in because, look, we're going to be a month to the start of the season. Next week,
March is kind of flying by. We're almost mid-March. I felt like I checked it, I think today or yesterday. I think it was today, this morning. I was like, man, Formula One seems so far away, and they're testing this weekend in Bahrain's in 2 weeks. So we're getting there slowly but surely.
Now, unfortunately, this date, as we record March 11th, would have been the second planned season opening race because they pushed Barber back week,
yeah.
But that way it doesn't go against the Masters, which I think is good for everyone involved.
Right, just get out the way of the Masters, right?
Yeah, you don't want to compete against that. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks for joining us this week on New Track Record Podcast.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.